Hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and this is our future forecast formula call for March 2014. And as you all know, there's a lot happening. I'm going to actually look at one event with all of you today. And I know yesterday at Numerology Academy, which, of course, you are all members of, we did look at the Cardinal Grand Cross that's happening next month. So listen to that call to get more info on that. But today we have several questions I'm going to get to shortly. And if you want to get in line to ask or follow up on anything we cover today, just press *6 anytime during the call. You can get in line now. So we are in the midst of a major intensification of energy right now. And as you may be feeling or may not be feeling, but I'm sure if you have clients, they are feeling it, friends, family members. There's just a lot coming to a head now. And it's all good in the end, right? But in hindsight, things are easily seen. And sometimes when you're in the thick of things, it's not so easy. There's also a very strong Piscean energy that is about to end, but that did inform much of what happened in the last few weeks. And the main story, at least in the news, there are two stories. One is the Ukraine-Russia situation, which I believe is going to get very tense very shortly. And then the second story is, of course, that Malaysian airliner that crashed on, well, we don't know where it is. It disappeared on March 8th. So, and these happened, of course, while we were in Pisces, and Pisces does rule the deepest waters. You know, Neptune is the natural planetary ruler of that sign, and so it rules the oceans. And there's been an intense search, of course, as many of us are in our first geography class about all the different oceans that exist in Southeast Asia and around Australia and around India and that whole Southeast Asia section. Many of those seas and names, I wasn't even aware of some of those names. So for me, it's been just a good geography lesson in many ways. But the actual story is very mysterious, and there seems to be an element not only of mystery but also of possible deception, of course. And that is the shadow side of Neptune, as we know. And if any of you have taken the time to create the chart of the takeoff time for this airliner, you'll find some very, very interesting discoveries, some of which actually involve Neptune. And I'm going to go into a couple of those with you, but I'd like for you in your homework for this month to actually analyze this chart and analyze it from the point of view of the upcoming Cardinal Grand Cross, because my sense is that we're going to actually get a lot more information about what happened at that time next month. And so let me explain to you why and why I'm covering this during Future Forecast Formula, which is, you know, about forecasting. Well, first of all, when you cast the chart, which you will do for 12:41 a.m. on March 8th for Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, those are the coordinates. So March 8th, 2014, 12:41 a.m., Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Cast that chart, have a look at it, and you obviously are scanning the numbers, noticing right away that there is a 7 on the ascendant and a 5 on the midheaven. And I'm going to take you through this right now, even though you probably don't have this chart in front of you. But once you go back and re-listen to the call, you can follow what I'm about to point out about this chart. So we've got a 7 ascendant, a 5 midheaven. The 7 ascendant is ruled by Sagittarius. And Sagittarius naturally rules the 9th house of long-distance travel, right? So, and Jupiter is the planet aligned with Sagittarius. Jupiter happens to be in the 8th house. So this is how we follow the storyline. We see that Sagittarius is on the ascendant at 7 degrees. We know that Sagittarius is the natural ruler of the ninth house of long-distance travel. And then we look for Jupiter, and Jupiter is in the eighth house. Now, the eighth house covers transformation and death and sexuality, money owed to you, all those subjects we don't like to talk about, sort of the taboo subjects, because, you know, the natural actual sign that rules this house is Scorpio, and Scorpio is more of a sign, a hidden sign. Scorpios love going into the hidden meaning of things, and so there, you know, there are secrets there, and things that the subconscious mind grapples with all the time, but may not be visible to others. So that's why this house does rule things like actual death, but also transformation, deep transformation, sexuality, as I said, and money owed to you. So Jupiter is in that house, which means it's expanding on those topics. And Jupiter is in Cancer. So weaving the storyline a little more, there are a couple things about that. First of all, Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. That means it's happy in that sign. And which makes sense in many ways, two reasons, because it gives prominence to the storyline, you know, being such a big planet, a planet of expansion. And it gives hope, because Jupiter is the planet of hope, to the relatives of the actual passengers on the plane. There's still hope out there that they may be alive somewhere. So the hope aspect of Jupiter is definitely part of the storyline. And then the other thing is, of course, the Cancer side, which, you know, Jupiter being in Cancer, well, we've got to see where the moon is. And this is where the story, again, intensifies, because the moon is opposite the ascendant, directly opposite, 7 degrees opposite, you know, so the moon's in Gemini at 7 degrees, opposite Sagittarius at 7 degrees. This is a very, very important point for the moon to be, again, ruler of the eighth house, very emotional, 7 degrees. We're in a 7 year. You know, seven is about sudden lightning strike events. But also, the moon at this position puts it at what I call the sunset position. And it's a position that ancient astrologers associated with, you know, the sunset of a storyline, so the actual death of a storyline. So this is an ancient astrology now. The reason is your ascendant is the sunrise point when you're born, and the descendant is the sunset point, right? And then at the top, the midheaven represents the prime of your life, right? So this is an ancient view of this circle that, you know, in terms of specific points in the chart. So the moon is at this sunset point exactly, you know, opposite the descendant. You know, you weave the storyline together, there you can see how it's all related in many ways. Now, we haven't covered everything. There are other points as well. The number five at this midheaven is very, very important. And Neptune is opposite the midheaven, exactly opposite at 5 degrees, which is hugely important. The sun was in Pisces, as I said. The sun is at 17 degrees, leave a legacy behind. I'm just going through some of these numbers, but you can investigate this as well. Also, the sun rules the ninth house, which is long-distance travel in this birth chart of the takeoff of that Malaysian airline jetliner. So, but here is why I feel the storyline will, the mystery of what happened will be unveiled at around the time in April that this Cardinal Grand Cross comes together. It's because when you look at where Jupiter is in that eighth house that I touched upon earlier, you know that Jupiter is going to be in that Grand Cross. And Mars is at this point in time retrograde. It became retrograde in early March, if you remember that in my forecast video. So March went retrograde in early March, and so it is actually applying its square to Jupiter, meaning it is moving back towards squaring Jupiter right at this point, right? Because it's retrograde, moving backwards. So as it's moving back towards that square, and as this grand cardinal grand cross, as this cardinal grand cross becomes exact in mid to late April, that is going to be like when you finish this part of the story, because that's going to be a point of arrival for Mars. And that's a very big part of this storyline, because it happened, you know, as this Grand Cross is coming together. This is why the Ukraine situation will also be very much affected. The Ukraine situation started happening in February and intensified right in early March, and that's when Mars went retrograde and is now moving towards this cardinal Grand Cross. It's called, that's called an applying square. So it's applying, going back to that point. An applying square can also mean a planet is moving forward. It doesn't mean it has to be retrograde, but it is moving toward an event in the future. So this is going to be, obviously April is going to be a huge month for many, many reasons. And in terms of this storyline, it also will, I believe, reveal a lot more about what happened. And it may not be news that people want to hear. That cardinal grand cross is extremely potent, and it will bring up things in people that, you know, need to be dealt with but aren't always pretty if it's stuff that you haven't looked at or haven't wanted to look at. So it's not to say that it's not news that is useful. It just sometimes can be difficult to swallow. So we'll see what happens. But I want you to study this chart. There are many other numbers and positions here that are of importance. I touched on the main ones, but as you can see, the storyline sort of weaves in and out when you look at the rulership of houses, the natural signs that rule the houses as opposed to the actual signs in the chart. And then you bring the numbers into play, of course. So it is obviously very, very interesting, the storyline. So, okay, having looked at that, I want to go to your questions. And if you have any questions about anything we discuss, please press *6 so we can go into more detail. So let me start with Annette, who emailed me about an hour before the call. So it'd be really great if you could do that 2 hours before the call so I can really have the time to focus on your questions. I was able to cast this chart for you, Annette, so I am able to answer some of what your questions are. And it concerns a client of yours who was born on 4th of September 1956 at 10:20 a.m. in Bourke, Australia. That's spelled B-O-U-R-K-E, Australia, for all of you who want to follow along and cast the chart of this person. You say this person has never married and would love to meet someone and get married. Jupiter will be conjunct her natal Venus in Cancer at 25 degrees and also at the same time be trine her Mars at 20 degrees in June. Will this help her, and does this activate her large triangle? Okay, so several things. To answer your overall question, yes. But we need to go more into detail, as usual. The first question I always ask is, what is the current name? Does it add up, and has it added up to a fortunate or not fortunate number? Obviously, that's very important. So we start with that. We look at personal years as well. So she's born September 4th. And so at this point, she is in a 1910-1 personal year of new beginnings. She started a new cycle last September. Come her next birthday, she will be in a 20-year, which is about relationships. It is the two. So that would be an active time for her as well. In terms of the astrology, activating that point, yes, is important. I do want to mention, because she has a seven life purpose, that sometimes people, and by the way, I don't know her destiny number, I don't know her name, so I don't have the whole picture in front of me, but people who have a seven, you know, either day of birth or life purpose, very often they may go through quick relationships or they may go through just one long-term relationship, but sometimes they actually prefer being on their own. She's also a four, and that combination is, again, somebody who's very set in her ways and likes her privacy. So it may not be so easy for her to, you know, actually join with another and form that bond that you need where you are flexible and share things. Again, I don't have her whole profile, so I can't vouch for all of this, but that is something to consider. Also, I'm noticing in her birth chart real quick here, because I just cast this before the call, is her Saturn is literally conjunct her ascendant. So, and that is a point that will be activated in June, which is the actual window you're talking about in your question. So yes, in June, Jupiter conjuncts her Venus, trines her Mars, and also trines this particular Saturn point as well. So there could be a destined event that happens. Because her Mars is in the fifth house, it could be short term. You know, this is more of a, you know, having like a short-term relationship, a fling with somebody, something that's fun. But with Mars involved, you know, that adds extra weight, and it adds the idea of timing. She also has her, not with the Mars involved, with Saturn involved, that adds extra weight and extra seriousness. And she also has her Saturn return happening, you know, right now. So during your Saturn return, the second one, there is really a lot that can be shifted in your life, including if she's never been married or in a long-term relationship, that can happen, obviously, as well. So, yes, it is a good window of opportunity, especially once her two-year kicks in, right, which is at the end of the summer here. So I would say absolutely there could be, it could be like a romance. It could be long-term. We just have to wait and see how that Saturn return and the Mars in the fifth house play with each other at this point. Okay, so also because Venus is in the ninth house, it could result as because she's traveling somewhere. So you know that Jupiter is the natural ruler of that house. Jupiter will be in its native house, conjunct Venus. Her Venus is in that ninth house. So she could be traveling when this happens, or it could be a person who is traveling or is from out of the country, you know, a foreigner. So again, all of those can figure into the equation. Okay, if you're on the call, Annette, then give me a holler. Let me know if you have any follow-ups to that. And then real quick, we have an observation from Jen, continuing from the discussion yesterday we had about that Cardinal Grand Cross. She mentions that it is happening on Easter, which I didn't even realize. I should have realized because my daughter has spring break right around that time. So, yeah, she says it is actually, I guess, Easter is on the 20th, and that's really the beginning of that window for the Grand Cross, 20th through the 23rd, 24th. So that is interesting how that affects things, since, of course, Easter represents a birth of sorts, a rebirth of sorts. So it adds fuel to that 11 universal month we're going to be in, which is also about new beginnings, double new beginnings, and rebirth. It's going to be amazing. So there's a lot of symbolism coming together for that event. So thank you for that, Jen. And then we have a few questions from Linda, which I'll go into now. So let's see here. The first one you ask is, in Webinar 5, you say that solar arc Venus conjuncts Neil Donald Walsh's sun-moon midpoint. It also squares his ascendant and descendant and indicates he will find a new woman and fall deeply in love, as solar arc Venus indicates relationships. Could this solar arc Venus mean something different, as Neil is married to poet M. Claire, or could it really be that he will find somebody new and divorce this wife as well? Okay, so let me just answer that question before I go on. Yes, it can mean other things as well. So when solar arc Venus arcs any part, you know, squares, opposes, conjuncts in this case, which is the strongest, sun, moon, midpoint. It is about love. It is about harmonious relationship, but it can be interpreted in on different levels. So for somebody like Neil Donald Walsh, it can also mean the harmonious relationship between yin and yang, spiritual, emotional, masculine, feminine realms. It definitely rules the attraction to another person. So it can actually mean the deepening of an already harmonious marriage. So something that happens between the two of them, right? So it doesn't mean divorce if he's already married. What it means is that there's a magnification of that love and beauty energy. So now if he wasn't married, I would say it's a fantastic chance for him to meet somebody. It does magnify everything that's artistic and creative, and it can indicate friendship, deep friendship between people who are lovers. So those are the things that Solaric Venus rules in relation to the sun, moon, midpoint. And I'm really glad you asked that because it again, brings to light that it's not necessarily one thing. There are different realms, different colorings of each solar arc that we can interpret with this kind of, coming together of two points in the chart. And, okay, so then you said, let me continue with your question. You say, in my research, I found that he has been married four other times. I also noticed that he has his son at 16-7, as does Marion Williamson, who has not married. Maybe we should contact M and tell her the sad news, LOL, laugh out loud. But back to more positive things. Could it mean that new platonic, you wrote plutonic, but it's, I think you mean platonic. I hope you don't mean plutonic because that would be really intense. new platonic relationship maybe with new groups as the note is affected, a new grandchild as he has 9 children, a new book, et cetera. Yes, it can mean those things as well. It is, but it's definitely about a relationship. Again, it can a harmonious relationship. But really when it comes to sun, moon, it's about intimacy in terms of a couple. Yes, when the node is affected, of course, it brings in groups. Could be large groups, could be millions of readers, could be, his groups that he may run as part of his business, you know, yes. So, okay, let me know if that answers your question. You also mentioned solar arc Venus square ascendant descendant. So let me just briefly touch upon that point. When the solar arc Venus arcs, so when Venus arcs your ascendant descendant, it does indicate a kind of beautification of your environment, a seeking of pleasure, and a love affair. So now, again, it doesn't mean every one of those gets activated. It could mean that he is attracted to, you know, somebody he meets in his travels or speaking engagements, whatever. It doesn't mean he goes through with it. It just means there are more moments of meeting others who beautify your life, right? Because it's the beautification of your environment. Or he could basically apply that to his home or office and change how he, you know, repaint it, whatever it is he's doing. Now, here's one more thing I want to mention in all of this, Linda, is that Venus rules Neil Donald Walsh's midheaven and his third house. Now, the midheaven is in his chart Taurus, the third house is Libra, Venus rules both of those signs. So we always want to keep those houses in mind as well. So for him, an arcing to Venus can also indicate breakthroughs in those two areas, which would be his career, his public standing, and in terms of the third house, communication, siblings, publishing. Okay, So there are many possibilities. So what happens is when you get a client on the phone, it's not like you're coaching him right now or mentoring him, but if he was your client, you would actually be talking to them. You'd mention these possibilities. They would then let you know, which realms actually are the ones they're focusing on, and then you can hone in on those, and that's what you do as a practitioner. You then see, okay, well, she is in the process of getting a book published or looking for a publisher, and this would indicate something dynamic happening in that area, right? So it just depends, too, on the focus of the client at the time, because there are always many possibilities, but it depends on what you are setting up for yourself, too. Okay, and since he's married, it wouldn't, to me, mean that he then goes out and has an affair, you know? So, okay, in terms of him being married, because you then ask, this leads me to another question. Is there something in his natal promise that would show that Neil Donald Walsh would have so many wives, children? Okay, very, very good question again. So, yes, let's look at this. Let me get his chart out in front of me so I can really see it. So, with him, he's born on a 10-1 day. He has a 27-9 life purpose, and he has a 9 destiny. So that's the first thing I look at. Those are the shift numbers, endings, beginnings, right? So this guy has a lot of major restarts in his life, and that would include marriages. It's just the way he rolled. 1 and 9 are his major numbers in the numerology, okay? So that's one clue right there. The other thing is his son, Neil Donald Walsh, and by the way, if you want to follow this, we're in Webinar 5, as I mentioned at the beginning here, Webinar 5 Future Progress Formula, and the slide for his birth chart is slide number 32. So if you go to the PDF booklet for Webinar 5 and look at the large slide, the one-page slides, you will be able to see this really well. So anyway, he has Sun conjunct Venus. Now that means he just loves being around females. He just loves the feminine energy. It just appeals to him. It's natural to him to be around females. It's natural to him to be attracted to females. Just having that conjunction right there, right? Yes, his son is at 16-7, so there are these sudden events that happen in his life, wake-up events, awakenings. Obviously, his book is all about that, his major series, which is one of my favorite books, the Conversations with God series. So, you know, 16-7 directly connects him in that way, and he's made a lot of money. This is in the second house. Right? So now the 16-7 also shows that he would go up and down with the money situation, which obviously he did. He was homeless. 16-7 shows you can be on top, you can go down. So he's found his rhythm. He's now utilizing that sun in the second house, which is in the money house. So just to briefly answer that part of your question, yes, he likes women. Also, look at that beautiful trine, that triangle, the trine between two very intensive points in his chart, the Mars-Uranus conjunction, which gives him tremendous vitality and energy, especially concerning his career. It's in the 10th house. But Mars is sexual energy, right? Now, that is squaring his Venus Sun. So there can be sometimes these big moments for him where he gets into has a challenging experience with whoever he's with at the time, wife, girlfriend, whatever, and it can explode because, you know, we've got Uranus conjunct Mars. That's extremely potent energy. This is the energy that's going to be released here in, next month. It involves those two planets. So that's very potent, of course. And by the way, those two planets will be opposite each other, Mars and Uranus, next month. So he has them conjunct in his chart, and they're square, that point between the Sun and Venus. So so there are going to be these moments where he has a division and a sudden change of heart and moves into another situation with another woman. Now, I would have to really study their numbers and charts to see with M. Claire and him to see what, you know, how they align and all of that. I don't have any of that information in front of me. But yes, just that little thing right there would show that he would enjoy the changes that come with different relationships. He actually thrives on it, you know. So, okay, let's see here. Let's go to, you have a couple other questions here. Is there something a person can do to counteract challenging solar arcs? For instance, if Colette, meaning Colette Baron-Reed, my friend, who is covered in this webinar 5, by the way, if you want to look at that again, if Colette had done a reading with you prior to her accident and you discovered all of those challenging aspects, is there something she could have done to avoid having the accident? Or say it was a health issue that is activated, is there something someone can do to prevent the health issue? Okay, you know, the knowledge of something isn't necessarily the remedy. It is information that's like a gift. So knowing that, you know, I knew she had a motorcycle because I'm friends with her, so I knew this was a passion of hers that she started when she moved back east from Sedona. And she always wanted one. She finally got one. We did not have a reading, so I didn't know what was going on for her. Had we had that reading, I would have cautioned her, knowing that she has a motorcycle, right? So I would have said, look, just be extra careful. There's lots going on around this time, lots of very strong energetic alignments. You know, the point is not to instill fear, but is to instill wisdom. And so, yes, I would have mentioned something. Would it have prevented the accident? You know, that's a moment-to-moment decision that everybody faces when, you know, they are in that situation. Now, remember, Colette has chosen a name that is a 15, even though she's born on a 17-8 day. This is something that she chose to do. She knows what the effect of that is, but she feels like she can rise above that, what could be sometimes negative effects of that combination. So again, that's something I always keep in mind in relation to her, that she will sometimes attract these events because of that name combination. So there are many things that go into it. There are decisions that she has made. And yes, even with a health issue, you can give your client the information they need, but again, it's knowledge that they then have to apply, and that's where the wisdom comes in. You know, will they have the wherewithal to digest and translate the knowledge and wisdom you give them into actual decisions that they make that are informed? Do you see what I mean? So yes, you can move a person towards the positive side of an experience. But in terms of even health issues, those are, you know, when a health issue comes up, it's been around in that person's energetic makeup for a long time before it actually manifests as a health issue. So you're dealing with something very, very deep that, you know, it's not really possible to address that in a reading completely unless the person really wants to go there and you really go deeply for several, you know, readings into what it is that may have led up to what they're feeling now. Okay, so, and then you ask, in lesson 6, you say to print out a list of transits and progressions for the next 12 months. I'm in EO edition. How do I do that? Okay, I'll just take you through that real quickly. So for all of you who have EO edition, this is what you do to get those two lists. First of all, you open the EO edition and you take out a person's actual chart, right? So you open an info card for someone, whoever that may be. Then you click on special. So you go up to special at the top. It's right next to window. It's between window and help. So you click on the special menu. And you scroll down, and you click on transits. Okay, so go to transits, and you'll arrive at this window that allows you to choose the beginning date and end date of the list. So you can choose, you know, March 1, 2014 to March 1, 2015. Put that in there. On the right side, you choose the aspects you want to use. So you just, choose the main ones, basically, for the aspects. And then below, in the middle below there, you see it says weather, transit, natal, progress, progress. So the two you're interested in are transit to natal chart and progress to natal chart. So you choose one or the other. So if you choose transit natal, for example, and then you click list, you'll get the list for that window of time for that person. And it lists it for you in a colorful way. Then you can go back and click off the transit and click on progress natal, and then you get all the progressions for that window of time. Okay? So that's how you get the two lists. And, of course, you'll want to print those out and highlight them, which is what I do before I give my readings. Okay? So let me know if that makes sense. And that, I believe, is it for our questions. Let me make sure here. Oh, no, you send one more email, Linda, in which you say, not really a question, but for your information, in Webinar 6, when you were going over George Clooney, you talked about his progressed Jupiter semi-square sun-moon midpoint. So progressed Jupiter semi-square sun-moon midpoint can trigger a new relationship. I saw on February 27, just after the date you looked at, George Clooney brought his new girlfriend to the viewing of the Monuments Men at the White House. Okay. Well, there you go. It can mean that. That is one of the meanings, right? So he wasn't married. I think he plans never to get married, so he will have the, girlfriend route in his life. And I guess he recently had broken up with the previous lady. So he was available, and that means that particular solar arc did actually trigger an actual new relationship. So that's great. Thank you for letting me know that. I actually didn't follow that. So, okay, wonderful. So now let's go to calls. Let me see here. I will take this one. Hello.
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hi, Rayora. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I had a question as far as the solar arcs.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're not supposed to pay attention to the standard meaning of the square or the semi-square and so forth, just to look at whether it is arcing
mm-hmm.
by those degrees. But do we look at the sign and the flavor of the sign
mm-hmm.
on the solar arced planets as they are arcing the natal?
Very good question. Well, they're in that arc position for a long time, right, in that
right.
sign. So it would be a matter of decades. So
uh-huh.
if the sign is and the house, if they actually are important to that particular relationship, meaning let's just say the sign that the arcing planet is in is Cancer, and it's forming an arc to the moon, yes, it's very important, right? So because it's triggering the moon's actual ruler, the sign that the moon rules. But in general, because it's there for so long, you get used to it. Just like with Pluto going into a sign in a transit or even Neptune, we get used to it because it's there for so long. So mm-hmm. the sign doesn't really play as big a role as the actual relationship between the planets or the actual, point, because it could be the ascendant, descendant, et cetera. It's not always a planet. So it could be a midpoint. But that's what really matters most. The house obviously plays a role, especially with the planet that's being arced. So if, in that example I just gave, if the moon is in the sixth house, the natal moon, then that house is activated for sure, right? So
okay, is the house where the solar arced planet is sitting, is that activated as well?
It is activated, but remember, it's in there for so long that, yes, it is part of the story. You do want to consider it. you know, if we're talking something like 10th house, for sure this is an important house, but let's say Venus is in that house for 30 years, you know, you get used to that. So it yes, it's part of the storyline, but the more important house really is the one that it's arcing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, it's a length of time that the issue is here, so, yeah.
Is there any importance to if a planet, a solar arcing planet, is retrograde or not? Is there any significance to that?
You know, I have not found for arcs that it makes a difference. What I will tell you, though, that for transits, it makes a difference. And even for progressions, the moon, of course, doesn't go retrograde. So the progressed moon, which is the really important one, we don't have this. The sun does not ever go retrograde. So those two light bodies we don't deal with. But when progressed Mercury or Venus or Mars go retrograde, it can make a difference. But for transits, it's the most important. For arcs, no. It's just that it takes so long. But for example, for transits, my gosh, just the fact that Mars is retrograde now makes the experience for this upcoming cardinal grand cross even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back over territory it already crossed, and it's like revisiting. And it's also, by the way, Mars, for all of you, we haven't discussed this in Numerology Academy yet. I will cover this in a future edition of the course. But there are, and you may know this, Rara, there are planets, most planets have areas that they are in detriment,
mm-hmm.
even where they are in fall. And Mars is in detriment in Libra. And this just happens to be where it's living for 7 months. So the fact that it's in detriment and retrograde at this time is pretty important.
Right.
I have not gone into that because it makes things very complicated. Because it's adding another layer. But at this point, I'll just mention that in terms of your retrograde question is also important. And if you want to learn more about that, I will be covering it. But if you just want to see a really good chart of planets in exaltation, detriment, and fall, you can go to astro.com. They have it there. There is a page where you can just let me see if I can give you the link to it. Okay, if you go to astro.com/ M as in mother, T as in Tom, P as in Paul, and again, / MTP again, so M as in mother, T as in Tom, P as in Paul, 64_E.htm. That's the address. So I'll say it again, www.astro.com/MTP/MTP64_E.htm. That has a great, easy chart to look at. And it'll give you even more layers now when you are doing forecasting.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all it for me this time.
Good. Awesome. Thank you, Rayora.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me go to the next call. Hello.
Hi, Tanya. This is Linda. Is there any other callers? Because I didn't want to take up so much time since I already asked so many questions.
Nope. You are the final call.
Okay.
At least now, unless somebody else wants to join, press *6 if you do. But, yeah, you're the final one right now.
Okay. Well, I think you said when the moon crosses your – no. Maybe it's Mars crosses your ascendant. No, I can't remember which one. All right, well, let me just tell you what's happening because I haven't had any energy lately. But on the 14th, I decided to get my butt back in gear and start doing this astro, and I've gone through almost all of the – I'm on the last John F. Kennedy talk, and in the last 4 days, I've done this all, taking copious notes and everything. But on that day, the 14th, the transiting moon is at 00 Virgo, and then my progressed moon is at 00 Aries going into the sixth house. it's in the fifth house right now. Do those make a difference for energy, or is it just really Mars?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, Aries is the home. You're talking about Mars or just the moon?
Well, now I can't remember. I know I wrote it down, but you and I think Rayora just either asked earlier on the call, or maybe it was yesterday's call, about something crossing the ascendant giving you more energy for 2.5
Well,
years.
When the Mars crosses the ascendant, absolutely it energizes. And it's usually marked by some event that you'll remember, not like a major event, but something. On that actual day, there's usually something that happens.
Well, on the 14th, my transiting Mars is at 26 Libra and my ascendant's at 27 Libra.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So let me just, what was I doing here? I just was checking something for you. Okay, here we go. You're saying it's, you mentioned something before about 0 degrees Aries.
Okay, yes. My progressed moon is at 0 degrees Aries on March 14th.
That's
I would just study along.
Yeah, that's
along
very,
with
very
you.
Important because your moon's just changed signs.
Okay.
That anytime the progressed moon changes signs, see, the progressed moon is a timekeeper. And so when it changes houses or signs, it's an important moment. So you always want to pay attention to that.
Okay.
So, and it just went into the what's considered the first sign, the birth sign, Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So that is important. And it's also that is a critical degree. So,
and an Aries point too, right?
And an Aries point, yeah. That's right. So, and, you know, we are about to enter Aries, all of us. Keep that in mind as well. So, yeah, it's very important. And it actually will energize you because
mm-hmm.
the emotional side of you will be, you know, feeling better at this point. Now, I know you mentioned a couple other things. I'm just trying to figure out where we are. So you mentioned Libra, something at 27 degrees.
My ascendant is 27 degrees Libra, and the transiting Mars on that day is at 26 degrees Libra.
Oh, I see.
Which is also
okay,
a critical degree.
That makes
so maybe that's why I had some more energy, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Well, there now you're weaving the storyline. This is a storyline now because Mars rules Aries. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important. Now you're putting together all the pieces of the puzzle. Absolutely. That will really, really help in a big way. So that's good news. You know,
oh,
that's
good,
really good news.
I haven't had any energy lately, so I'm
starting
to.
Well, it means you've been dealing with Pisces, too, energy,
mm-hmm.
and that is the dreamy energy, and dreams are, we dream when we sleep. So, you know, that's like, that'll give you a clue. It's nighttime,
okay.
You know. I mean, Pisces is like, it's the last sign. It rules the 12th house, which is like the night of the soul. That's what some people call it, the night of the soul, the dark side of the soul, you know, the stuff that's hidden. And it's the stuff we dream about. We are, you know, we enter that realm and we're in bed asleep, you know. So makes sense for you to. It's sort of the same idea of the 6 weeks right before your birthday that I mentioned yesterday. You know,
mm-hmm.
in relation to Jen, because her birthday is coming up in early May. So she is now, well, she's about to enter those 6 weeks. Again, that covers the 12th house for the solar return chart. And same thing for you. Anything relating to Pisces is same idea. So, yeah. So that's cool that you put that together. And also, once you see the critical degrees, see, those give even more energy to the equation. They really do matter. And if any of your planets, I don't have your chart in front of me, but if any of your planets are affected, like, are you being triggered in another way as well? See, that's the other thing. Does that 27-degree point trigger something else?
Yeah, the 27 degrees in my natal chart, my 27 degrees ascendant is sesquiquadrate to my sun at 14 degrees Cancer. Is that what you mean?
Oh, see, that's important. Because Cancer's ruled by the moon.
Right.
The moon just entered. Yeah, that's really, that's important. Your moon just entered Aries. So you need to put that storyline together.
And there's also something, you know, Venus, too. I noticed something with Venus. Let me see. Well, my Venus, oh, and actually you mentioned something. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, let me tell you. My Venus is at 20 degrees Gemini, and it's conjunct to my Mars 13 degrees Gemini in the 8th house. And whatever you were talking about, because it's all rumbling through my head right now, is you said that this person should be marketing to women. I think it was Colette Baron Reed. So should I be marketing to men since I'm my Venus is Mars?
Oh, that's hilarious. You have a lot in your... Okay, so let me think about this, because the marketing happens based on... Yes. You know what? You have Venus, though, you just said, in that house as well, right?
Venus is at 20 degrees Gemini, and Mars is at 13 degrees Gemini in the 8th house.
In the 8th house. Is that it for the 8th house, or do you have anything else?
No, I have the moon at 8 degrees Gemini, and my sun-moon midpoint is at 26 degrees Gemini.
Ooh, that's a busy 8th house. No wonder you're into astrology. And numerology. Okay, so, you know what? With the moon and Venus there with Mars, all I can say is it's both men and women in terms of money owed to you, if that's what you're talking about here.
So marketing, like classes and stuff like that.
It would appeal to both. You would appeal to both men and women, not necessarily just the female aspect for you. I'd have to look at your midheaven, though, and see what's going on there.
Midheaven is at 1 degrees Leo, and that's also my personal year.
But where's your sun then, if it's Leo?
My sun is at 14 degrees Cancer in the 9th house.
Okay, so communication online is huge for you, writing newsletters in the 9th house, doing it worldwide, distance places. This sort of is a chart where you would appeal to both, not just one or the other. Yeah.
And Mercury is at 25 degrees Cancer in the 9th house.
Oh, that's big too. See, because there's your communication planet right, sounds to me like right on your midheaven. So
speaking of writing and taking what we talked about, which I wasn't on the call for last month, about Amanda Knox, I was actually thinking about writing a book about her. And,
oh, cool. Okay, you know, that just gave me chills, and that is a good sign.
I've been interested in her since I heard this story first break back in 2007. I've been following it. But you know how you said on the call last week that she should write a book? Well, she did. It was released on April 30th, 2013, which was a 13-4 day, which tied
into the 8th. I didn't know that she wrote a book. Okay.
Yeah, it's called Waiting to be Heard. And on May 17th, which was an 8-day and a 1910 universal day, it hit number 5 in the bestseller market, which she has a lot of 5s too going through. You know, the life purpose is the 5, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
41-5. So, I mean, that's why I thought the media always, like, she's always going to be in the media because
mm-hmm.
of that 41-5.
Yeah. So, wow. So if you're thinking of writing this book, that would be, if you take a topic like that that's in the public eye, because it's this ongoing storyline, right, that people are fascinated by, it gives another perspective on the storyline that would then introduce those people who are interested in the storyline to your modality, which
mm-hmm.
is a great way to approach when you market something, right? You use a story that people already are interested in and
mm-hmm.
pull them into your world, and that would make sense for you to do that, especially considering what you just told me about your, you know, where your natal planets are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you have the sun in the 9th house and you've got Mercury in the 9th house, Mercury is then opposite the 3rd, which is communication, and sun is at 14 degrees, which is media, and whatever else we covered here. And I think you said your 8th house is Gemini. Is that right? A lot of planets.
Gemini.
Yeah. So that to me means uncovering secrets. You know, the 8th house, right? So you would uncover secrets and communicate them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what that would mean, 8th house, Gemini, planets. It would appeal to both men and women. So I would say go for it.
Okay. But also, since I said I'd been covering it, I mean, I've been covering it in my mind, but we didn't talk about her planes of expression. And she
mm-hmm.
has that one island. And she also has the indicator of creative movement, the 2 7s and 8 and 2 9s. So
mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting. And also something else that's kind of freaky, that Jodi Arias, she killed her boyfriend, in case you didn't follow that story, and O.J. Simpson, they were both born on July 9th, in
mm.
addition to Amanda Knox.
Oh, my God.
I was like, ooh, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah,
so.
And it's funny that you're – that you're following these storylines. Again, this is very 8th house stuff, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. You know, you're talking about, like, you know, the 8th house covers death. You know, mm-hmm. it covers this stuff. This stuff that we don't talk about, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so you're interested in that. You've got a lot of planets in that house, and they're in Gemini, like I said, which is about communicating your discoveries, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. So I would, you're like a sleuth, an astronomy sleuth.
Well, it was so interesting when she was, you know, the conviction was overturned the first time. I didn't get so much into the astrology, but the numerology was right on. I was like, oh, they're going to turn it over.
Wow.
And of course they did. And then now she's reconvicted. Oh, my goodness. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I would say go for it. Let me see. What year are you in? 13?
I'm in 1910 one.
Yeah. You're in a new beginnings year. That's fabulous. You're also born in 64, right? So
mm-hmm.
that's a 10-1. You know, you want to look at that, too. The 64 is important. So that's an important number for you. So, yeah, I would say this is good. Just keep – what you want to do is when you have an urge like this and it's something you just love and you're doing anyway, you're doing the research anyway because you're interested in it,
mm-hmm.
and you notice that while you're doing the research, you just – time flies and
mm-hmm.
you even forget about, you know, eating, which is
mm-hmm.
what happens to me. That's
mm-hmm.
how you know it's the right thing, and that's how you know this is good for you, right? You want to just follow through on that.
And also the Malaysian, I was going to write on the numerology group that has anybody been following it and seeing the 4 and 8 connection too?
There's a big 4 and 8 connection with that,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And actually what I would love to know is the pilot's information. I don't have that.
They have it now. You can just Google, I was going to write it down, but just Google the names of the pilots, and it shows up in the stories now.
You mean their birthday shows up?
No, not the birthday. It's just the name. Sorry.
Yeah, the name I know, but I want to know the birthdays. And
yeah.
So that's really what the info I need.
I don't think
to
that's...
really like make it a full story, but I don't know if we'll ever get that. I don't know
mm-hmm.
if the Malaysian government or whoever's in control of that is going to release that information. They should, but they may not until they have the final confirmation, and then they'll show the, you know, maybe the birth and death type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, that the 4 and 8 connection is definitely one to follow in that story. So,
yeah, it's hard to write everything down when you see it on like CNN or something like that, and then they don't show everything in newspaper reports, I mean on the Google yet. So I was like, how do you find all the information?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I wait a little bit, and then you start getting articles that combine the timeline. Like I actually write in Google, I write timeline of Malaysian Airlines, you know, crash. And then it takes you to, like, BBC or whatever. And then they give you just basically a list of what happened when. And that prevents you from having to, you know, wade through a lot of articles to get the information.
Okay,
so,
that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
so
then,
if you use the word timeline in relation to an actual event, you usually get to an article that lists stuff for you.
Oh, that's good. I will keep that in mind. But, as I said, I was just going through. I'm on lesson 6 right now. I still have to finish the rest of the John F. Kennedy one, but I had gotten to Miley Cyrus before, about an hour before the call. And when you said that the Uranus, which is the ruler of her midheaven, is at 10 degrees Aries, is square both Venus and Uranus, and you said that it is some unexpected events regarding the tour. And so I decided to look up what happened on the tour. And today, just an hour before the call, her bus burst into flames.
Her bus? Oh, no. That's
yeah,
not her home.
Yeah, it says that they weren't hurt, but it caught into fire. Plus, there's been a lot of controversy around parents who don't want their children to go to the concert.
Yeah,
so.
Well, if you had a child, you would know why. So. Just saying.
And they could.
I have a daughter, and I would like just for. I would never let her go. There's no way. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But yeah, of course, there's controversy around her. She has a challenging name. There's a lot of stuff about her. That's a book too, by the way. If you ever want to write a book, so. There's a lot you can say about that. But yeah, okay, well. That is interesting. I appreciate you sharing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm sure I'm going to have lots of other questions by next month, but that's all I have for right now.
Well, keep the questions coming. It's what makes these calls so interesting, and I love doing the research as well, you know. So, yeah, it's good. I appreciate it, Linda. So,
you did ask me to ask you about the 13 degrees critical degree. You said to bring that up tomorrow, just that it is at a critical degree for the Cardinal Grand Cross.
Ah, yes, that's right. You did. That's right. I mentioned that yesterday. Yes, thank you for bringing that up yesterday. And again, it's not covered in Numerology Academy, which is why I asked you to bring it up so we have it recorded on this call for all of you on the call or listening at a later time. The actual Cardinal Grand Cross does take place at 13 degrees in all the four cardinal signs. So that's a major trigger of the critical degree, which if you have your list in front of you, you should know that 0, 13, and 26 degrees are the critical degrees in all cardinal signs. So that, again, leads even more intensity, and you are one of the few people in the world who actually will make this connection. So, you know, it's good to know. And 13, even the number, I mean, the fact that it's a critical degree is one part of the story. The number 13 is a whole other part of the story. Again, it's life, death, transformation. It's connected to the divine feminine. There's just a lot going on. It also reduces to four. That's why I mentioned, earth events around that time. So it doesn't necessarily mean earthquakes, but general, you know, weather, earth, tornado, whatever events that affect people living on earth, that type of stuff. So. Sudden events. So, yes, I appreciate you bringing that up so that we have it for everybody to use, not only, you know, for world events, but really for yourself. You really want to find where this Cardinal Grand Cross is in your birth chart and in your client's chart, and you want to include this information in any reading that you give that incorporates astro-numerology as opposed to just numerology, because it is very, very potent and, really charts a course for everybody at this time. So yeah, I don't know where it is for you, Linda, in terms of your houses.
Let's see, it's at 13 degrees. Well, it's in my 13 degrees Cancer is in my ninth house.
So it's in your cadent houses then, meaning the ending. The ending houses.
13
yeah.
degrees Libra is in my 12th.
Yeah, those are the ending
13
houses.
Degrees Aries is in my 13 degrees Aries is in my between the 6th and the 7th. Yeah. All right. So yeah, Caden houses, right.
Mhm. So again, just look at that things are culminating at that time for you and look at what's in those houses for you personally. Or what sign rules them. If it is the cardinal signs, then that's important. So yeah, that's what I mean. You want to pay attention to whether something is triggered in your chart, and if you happen to have a lot of planets in one of those cardinal signs, that's important too. So if you, for example, if you're born in a cardinal sign, you will be affected for sure. So I don't know if you are, Linda. When's your
Cancer?
Birthday?
Cancer,
huh?
July 6th. July 6th.
Oh, if you're July 6th, you're very close to one of these numbers. Because that's
mm-hmm.
the midpoint. That's in the middle of Cancer. That would be around 13 degrees, 13, 14, 15 for your sign, right?
I'm 14.
Yeah, so that's huge. I mean, your sun is on this actual event. It's being triggered. That's major.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
hopefully in a good way, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? The fact that you know it is fantastic preparation. So now watch what comes up for you in the next few weeks and really address it. Like, don't run away from stuff. You know what I mean? So just, like, make sure you address things as they come up and clear them, and it'll be just so much easier for you. Because really, these are stressful moments. I will not beat around the bush. It's not like it's going to be a lovely, harmonious picnic. It's going to be a very dynamic event, and the actual nature of it really depends on what our focus is at the time, you know, and if we did our actual, you know, homework before the event arrives. So yeah, like, for example, we live in LA. We just had this earthquake yesterday. It was a wake-up call. You know, some stuff fell off the shelves, but it wasn't a big deal. But it was, you know, rattled us. And so now I'm going to make sure we're earthquake prepared, which we are not. So, you know, so stuff like that, like, pay attention to those details as they come up.
So. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I will do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I have.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the questions.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Sorry, I dominated the time. But
no, it's fine. You know, we do whatever happens in the call is important for that particular call. So if you have a lot of questions, we answer a lot of questions. You know, that's just how it is. So good. All right. One of the things I do want to mention, though, is that yesterday I said our next call is April 22nd. Well, that is actually not true for Numerology Academy. That call is the 21st of April, which is a Monday. Our call for Future Forecast Formula is on April 22nd. So that is the big moment for this Cardinal Grand Cross. So this is actually wonderful for us, because that is what we deal with, is the future forecast. So it will actually be happening. And any updates on your end, research that you have discovered up to the moment of the call, let me know. For all we know, there will be something we all know about anyway. We'll see. But it should be quite a big call at that point. So until then, I wish all of you a happy onset of spring in a couple days. For you in the Southern Hemisphere, happy onset of autumn. And, you know, it's a fantastic time right now to be doing what we're doing. We're very, very lucky we have this information and that we can share it with each other and use it for our clients. So I hope all of you are enjoying the process, and bring your questions to the next call the way you always do, and enjoy these next 4 or 5 weeks. All right, I will talk to you on the 22nd of April. Goodbye, everyone.